Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back previewing week 8 of the NFL season. We just got a lot of talk about the Lions 3-3. Everson Griffin trade, we'll cover that too as well. So a lot of exciting stuff going on in Detroit. Oh boy. 12 games left on the schedule. No bye weeks, full steam ahead. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the pod. And grab some Kool-Aid. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast hosted by lifelong Lions fans. UJ.
It seems apparent to me that the most intellectual football fans tend to be Lions fans.
Bob.
Stafford is the best quarterback in football. Remember what you saw here. Tell your grandkids. Don't forget.
Red Dog.
I believe we're on the precipice of a new era of Detroit Lions football dominance.
Connor.
Patricia looks like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka out there. An absolute blueberry on the sideline.
And I'm your host, Big Z. The media knows nothing. The Detroit Lions 2021 Super Bowl champs. We can't wait for this upcoming season. Relax, it's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back and getting ready for week 8 of the NFL season. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, of course. And I'm Big Z, and the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew is here to break down week 8 against the Indianapolis Colts. So let's go around the horn really quick. So we got Connor.
What up?
We got Bob.
Hello there.
And we got Red Dog.
Yo.
And UJ is off somewhere drinking a lot of Kool-Aid, I think, right now.
Always. So.
Probably.
He's always drinking a lot of Kool-Aid.
I think I saw him in the gutter earlier. He's a little incoherent. Too much Kool-Aid.
So gentlemen, before we get into previewing week 8, some big news that we need to react to here. And the Lions training a conditional 6th round draft pick, so it could be a 5th or a 6th. And I mentioned 5th or 6th because it might limit what the Lions can do with trading a 5th round pick for another player by the end of the deadline on November 3rd. But it's a conditional 5th or 6th round draft pick for Everson Griffin, a guy that has given nothing but nightmares to the offense of the Detroit Lions for years in the NFC North. He finally got shipped out to Dallas, but now he's right back in the Honolulu Blue. So I want to get your guys' reaction. So I'll throw it over to you first, Bob. How do you feel about this Everson Griffin signing?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. He's coming off of a bad defense there in the Cowboys, but
I'll say
the guy's got skills, and he's excited to be there. And well, he won't be able to play in the first week because of, I think, COVID or whatever, some protocol. And but he'll be back for the Vikings, which would be a big revenge game for him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm excited. I like the move that they're trying to win this year. So I'm hyped.
All right, Rud Dog.
Yeah, like Bob said, trying to win this year. I'm so used to these trading our best players away mid-season the last few years. It's nice to actually seem like they want to win now. And, I mean, the guy's got the talent to be a good pass rusher, as he said, terrorized us for years. Love the energy on his tweets and stuff. He seems really excited to join the Lions. So, yeah, I love the idea of a guy who can maybe bolster our pass rush and really get after the quarterback for us.
Absolutely. Connor.
Yeah, I mean, at 32 years old, like, it's definitely a win now move, like, not a building move. But, I mean, we've talked about this a million times, our pass rush has been terrible, and this will be an immediate upgrade. So clearly this is Patricia and Quinn signaling that they think we have something to accomplish this year. It's not like the Golden Tate trade or like the Diggs trade where it felt like, you know, they were declaring the season a wash. So I'm hopeful that this can be something to build on for this season.
Yeah, absolutely, Connor. I'm glad you said that, because I agree. This is a signal. Either they think they have the team that can win, or their jobs are on the line and they need to get somebody in the building to get them to save their ass.
That's true.
So it's one or the other. But I do like the signing. I think Everson Griffin, well, first of all, as Bob mentioned, this Dallas has just been an atrocious defense by every statistical measure. It's one of the worst in NFL history. For the first 7 games of the season. And Everson Griffin actually has been playing really well. He's, graded above 55 and above every game this year per PFF, which is good. And he had his best game actually last week against the Redskins, who have a decent offensive line, not great. But he has 2.5 sacks, 12 hurries on the year. Trey Flowers and Okwara are the only two guys on our team. So at the very least, you're getting rotational depth with a veteran presence in the locker room. And that's better than anything we can boast right now on our defensive line.
Yeah, and Julian Okwara's out, so
yes, right. Exactly.
Who knows when he'll be back.
That's another big factor.
I also love the value. I mean, for a conditional sixth-round pick and maybe a fifth-round pick if he shows up and produces, like, to me, that's almost getting him for pennies for a guy that has produced, like, an elite DN in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's only making $6 million this year, and it's already halfway. Yeah, it's already halfway off the books for the year.
He's got 2.5 sacks and 6 QB hits for the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, so he's definitely a guy, and maybe this defense will fit him better than whatever the hell Dallas was doing because they were just a mess on defense.
Where do you guys think he fits? Like, you're not going to take Trey Flowers or Okwara off the field at this point.
Definitely not Trey Flowers. I mean,
Okwara's been playing almost better than him in the pass rush. So, I mean,
yeah, but they rotate guys.
Yeah, true, exactly. True. Like I think Okwara and Flowers both played 42 of a possible 70 snaps last week.
Do you think
they do rotate?
Do you think he'll be a conditional pass rusher for us mostly at first? Just getting after the quarterback instead of really being in there on rundowns and stuff.
That's hard to say. He's definitely more of a pass rusher than a run defender for certain. Because actually his pass rush grades are really good this year. It's his run defense. It's a little lacking, it seems, just based on what I'm looking at.
So it could be perfect. Bring him in just on passing downs.
Yeah, I mean, he's 32 years old. He's definitely not what he once was. But I know Matt Stafford at least be really happy seeing him in a blue Honolulu blue uniform over the purple and yellow in the Minnesota. I think he had 10 sacks? He had at least one sack in every game against Matt Stafford. I know that for a fact when he was in Minnesota. But, yeah, it's a good move. And, you know, the Lions, they need – it's nice to see them get somebody instead of trading away somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But we'll see. And he seems super pumped about the move at least. He's saying all the right things to get the fans hyped up.
Yeah.
If you follow him on Instagram or Twitter. So
love that energy. It just bringing that energy will be good.
Yeah. Hopefully the Lions can put him in a position to succeed and bring a little out of him there.
Our D line's been picking up lately, so this will be just adding to it. Get that juice flowing, man. Let's keep it going.
And the reason that D line's been picking up in pass rush is because they've been stopping the run. More third and long opportunities to pin the ears back. That was the biggest thing. They've allowed 44 yards against the Jaguars and 66 or 67 against the Falcons. So if the Lions can continue to do that, they'll be set. And speaking of that, one of the better running teams in the NFL, the Lions go up against this week, especially offensive line-wise. The Colts' offensive line is extremely legit. They're number one rated run-blocking offensive line in the NFL, led by Quentin Nelson, of course, at guard. But that's who the Lions are going up against Sunday in Detroit, I should mention. The Lions have not won a home game yet this year. They're 3-1 on the road, 0-2 at home. So they need to get that home victory, but they have the Indianapolis Colts coming in. Before we get into that, I just want to read off the Lions injury report. Jalen Reeves-Maybin did not practice today. It's not injury-related. He just wasn't there, so I'm not sure what's going on. And then Trufant did not practice again. And Justin Coleman's still on the IR. He has not been let go.
That's so the only one I care about.
I don't know. We won't find out until Sunday or Saturday if he'll be ready, but I doubt it if he's not off the IR yet.
Yeah, no way.
And then for the Colts, they have a little more lengthy one. Mo Alie-Cox, their starting tight end. He's been out for 3 weeks. He's out again, it looks like. Julian Blackman, their safety. Trey Burton, Jack Doyle, all three of the Colts starting tight ends did not practice.
Jeez.
Justin Houston, their D end. But that's a rest day. He'll be ready to go. Ryan Kelly, their center, limited. Their linebacker, Darius Leonard, was limited. So lengthy injury report for the Colts in comparison to the Lions. So, let's start over you, Rud Dog. What's a key to this game that you see for the Lions this weekend?
Oh, I mean, we've been talking about it already. Stopping the run. I expect to see, sort of like we did last week against the Falcons. I noticed it the first play. I didn't notice it every play, but they had Danny Shelton actually playing right defensive end early on in the game for rundowns. And I expect to see a combination of him, Deshaun Hand, Nick Williams and Pennacini, maybe all four out of, on the field at the same time to really just try to shore up that run game early on. Because, like you said, this Colts O-line is legit. Quentin Nelson, like maybe the studliest O-lineman in the entire NFL right now. If you can slow down that run game, I think even with the aspects of our secondary, like Okuda struggling in his early years and stuff, will be mitigated with Phillip Rivers not being in the prime of his career. So if we can stop that run, I think we can take this game, because I still think the offense will find a way to score, even if not consistently.
Yeah,
Stafford will get them there.
It feels a lot better with Stafford having that game last week. Like, it feels like he's back, and that always is encouraging.
Yeah, before the Colts are coming off a bye week here, I believe. But before that, 25 for 39, Joe Burrow was for 313 yards against this the defense. So they can be a little vulnerable. Yeah, I can't get the word out.
Words
but
are hard.
Bob, yes, they are. Bob, how do you feel about this Lions offense against this Indianapolis defense?
Yeah, well, that is the key to this game, is their offense. And I think getting our running game going against that defense, because they have a pretty good defense. And I still think our offense is just slightly off. Like, I mean, we're moving the ball really well now. But those red zone conversions, we got to get more points, got to get more touchdowns. And I think they'll do it this week. But I think that's going to be the key, though, getting our running game going, which will set up the rest of the offense.
Maybe a little more Swift than Adrian Peterson this week would be nice.
Yeah, I think so.
They have to do that, right?
Because they vary it from week to week, the amount of carries. You know, this might be a big Swift week. So
I hope so.
We'll
Big Z shared with me this Atlantic article in Burke.
The Athletic, Chris Burke.
Chris Burke of The Athletic. Burke, he said if they don't continue to increase Swift's like payload or his load, that it would be coaching malpractice at this point. And I totally agree. Get that kid the ball. He's so talented.
That sounds evil. Coaching malpractice. That sounds like
yeah.
Sneaking.
It would be evil though.
To AP or something like.
The Lions have become too predictable in those short downs though. They put Adrian Peterson back there on third and fourth and short. Everybody knows what's coming.
I agree.
They haven't like gone away from what they've done. That's why the left end on the or the right end on Atlanta was able to just crash immediately hard down the line. He knew what the play.
Right.
It wasn't like a rocket.
Yeah, that's why I still think Bevel is not perfect.
I agree. And that's my biggest criticism so far, because I actually like his offense a lot. But that definitely has been a big issue.
He's no Jim Bob Cooter. Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. That's true.
Thank God. That would be awful.
Come on, now.
Jim Bob, notoriously known for his unpredictable third downs. You know?
I love that Jim Bob's been gone for 2 years now, and he's still
haunts our memories and our dreams. Yes.
What about Joe Lombardi? We should mention
him. Yeah, I was
going to
say, he wasn't as bad as Lombardi.
He deserves, he deserves.
Lombardi was a
disaster. I miss Linehan, honestly. I miss Linehan almost every day.
That was a fun offense.
Joe Lombardi's, Cooter's only achievement was being better than Joe Lombardi. So
Connor, what's your key to this game here?
It's on the offense, and I think it's on Matt Stafford. Honestly, I think we're going to need to see a strong Galladay connection this week, and I think we're going to need to see a strong Hockenson connection, particularly in the red zone. I don't think we can afford to take a lot of field goals this week. I would just say red zone conversion would be the number one key. I think if we can just outgun them, I really like our odds here.
So we should mic up Hockenson again?
Oh, hell yeah. Hockenson and Stafford should be mic'd up every single week.
Especially Stafford.
Oh, Stafford's so funny, mic'd up.
Riley!
Yeah, you can hear him in that Hockenson touchdown. The whole group's talking, but you can hear one high voice above it all. It's like Stafford.
He's like a man child. He's got a high-pitched voice.
His best mic up by far, though, was that Browns game in 09, Bob, that you and I went to.
Where's
it? Get off me, bro.
Absolutely.
I love you, man.
my key is kind of what I'm going to go off Red Dogs here, and it's definitely stopping the run. If you can get Phillip Rivers in third and long, he's proved to be very vulnerable turning it over. a lot this year. So I think that's super favorable to this Lions defense if we get him in third and long situation. Phillip Rivers is not a running quarterback by any means, so I think that's going to get allow the Lions defensive line to pin their ears back a little more like they did last week against Matt Ryan. And I really like that matchup from a passing down perspective. But the Lions need to stop the run first and foremost. And I'm kind of echoing as well what Corey Unlin and Matt Patricia say, but that it's true. The third and long makes us such a big difference in the NFL. Mm-hmm. All right, so gentlemen, we're going to move on to our next segment, and it's time. We have a special visitor entering the Lion's Den. All right, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, entering the Lion's Den this week, week 8 of the NFL season, is Colton. And ironically enough, he is a Colts fan, and he has willed himself into the Lion's Den. Beware. But Colton, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for joining.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
All right, Colton, so I'd like to initially ask, why the hell are you a Colts fan? Please explain to the VA audience, because none of us understand it.
Why?
You know, it's like I've been asked this so many times, and I think it was, I don't know if we were going to a Rip City tournament for you, Zach, but I remember when we were little, we drove by the Colts old stadium, and I was just like, I was really mesmerized by it, and I just loved, like, when I was little, watching Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and I just was kind of drawn to them, and Peyton Manning. I don't know, I just kind of fell in love with them on my own, had no influence, just kind of picked them on my own.
The fact that it's not because your name's Colton is unacceptable.
No, it has no. There's no hope not. For that.
Wow.
So who's your favorite Colt of all time?
Yeah.
Is it Peyton
Manning?
Favorite
Colt of all time. Reggie, probably on the offensive side of the ball, I'd probably go Reggie Wayne. Defensive side of the ball, I'd probably say either Dwight Freeney or Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders kind of gives off that Reed kind of player. I mean, not as good as Ed Reed, but he definitely made his presence known.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good, though.
Yeah.
He got you guys that Super Bowl pretty much that year.
Yes, he did. I think he had two picks in that game, if I remember correctly.
Big difference maker.
Yeah, and Dwight Freeney was a Detroit Lion for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well.
Turns out signing geriatric players isn't the best.
Hopefully we're not getting that out of Everson Griffin, but...
A little younger.
Well, the Colts have a geriatric quarterback now, which
tell us.
He's like 90. I think he has like 20 kids and 20 grandkids.
Yeah, his kids are going to be the offensive line this week.
How do you feel about Phillip Rivers so far this season?
So
7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Yes. Oh, yes. I vividly remember each one. So I love what Chris Ballard did. I love our GM, and I like how the fact they signed him to a 1-year deal, pretty much prove it or you're gone. So I like that part of the contract. It wasn't like he signed him to like a 2 or 3 year deal where we had to hold on to him. But his performance so far, he was the reason why we lost to the Browns. And, you know, he likes to force the issue a lot. Even our the last game against the Bengals, we were winning, had the ball, and then he just forced a throw into double coverage, throws an interception, and almost gives the lead right back to the Bengals. I just don't like how he forces throws, but I mean, there's good and bad with it, because like when it works out good, then it's an amazing play and everyone's cheering, but then when it's a bad play, it's a, you know, interception. So it's very up highs and lows with Phillip.
And Phillip Rivers, so last year, 23 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, and now, as I mentioned, 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He seems to be heading towards a very similar stat line right now. He did have his best game of the year last week against the Bengals after they were down, 21-0, was it, or something like that?
It was 21-0, yes. Phillip was on fire, that's for sure.
So, Connor, throw a question at our esteemed guest here.
Oh, boy. The Colts D, they've been pretty solid.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, what do you like Buckner most about their defense? Like, what do you think makes them such a threat to this Lions offense?
So what I love, as Zach pointed out too, I love DeForest Buckner. I thought that was a great move by Chris Bell to get him in with trading a draft pick. I thought it was well worth it. I think Buckner's like, what, 26, 27?
Yeah, 26.
Yes. So he's still got plenty of time in the NFL. And he is like, he demands a double team. And that just opens up like D'Amico Autry and for others to like put pressure on the quarterback. And then I love our pickup of Xavier Rhodes.
Forgot about that.
So he was a bust in Minnesota. The Colts take a chance on him. And he has three picks so far this year and should be a fourth. But I love his veteran presence of the team. He's definitely helping out the younger guys. And I also am very fond of Julian Blackman, our rookie out of Utah, who just had ACL surgery 9 months ago. And he is this dynamite in the safety position, making big plays left and right as a rookie. So I'm very, very happy with him. And also another good corner of ours is Kenny Moore. I love how when he comes off the edge, he can always sneak in a sack or two in there in the game. Can always be the difference maker.
Just one note about Xavier Rhodes there, Colton. He has two interceptions on the year, and they're both against the New York Jets. So I take that with a grain of salt, my friend.
Hey, NFL team.
Yeah, I guess they barely qualify, but they're nonetheless an NFL team. I agree with you about DeForest Buckner. He's a top 10 defensive tackle, probably top 5 the way he disrupts. And I actually love the Colts GM. I'll give you credit for that one, at least. He's done a really good job building that team. DeForest Buckner, they traded for a first-round pick. But that's what you trade a first-round pick for. This is the type of guy that you do because you're getting more than first-round back in return instantly. Definitely a difference maker. But I'll throw it to Bob now. Bob, throw a question at Colt here.
Yeah, Colton. Yes. You might become a Lions fan after this game because those rookies that you tout on defense, they're going to be exposed by Stafford and Galladay and Hawkinson. It's going to be a big day for them. How do you feel about your schedule coming up? You've got the Lions game, the Titans, you got the Ravens. It's the buzzsaw here. You got to get through.
Absolute gauntlet. I am like, it worries me, but I will say the Colts, they do step up when they play a worthy opponent. Last year we played the Chiefs on Sunday night and we absolutely dominated them. So, but we have Baltimore on Sunday and I think that we have the Titans on the next Thursday. So the season could either mount really quickly or fall apart really quickly, which worries me. But
do you guys have a pretty good rivalry with the Titans?
The Colts used to dominate the AFC South, and now we have a worthy rival. And so every game is very meaningful when we play them. Hmm. And considering the division, with them being 5-1, every game with them is going to be crucial to win. When it comes,
I always
down
say to the
division.
Titans because they got the coach we should have gotten. Yeah, I love him.
Vrabel?
He's such a good coach.
He is a really good coach. I'll give him that for sure. The Colts right now boast a top 10 rush defense, and they're a top 5 overall right now, at least grading for PFF. But who's your favorite offensive lineman on the Colts here? It's got to be Quentin Nelson, right?
Without a doubt, Quentin Nelson.
I think we all respect him at least here.
Just dominates.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what the Lions do to compete against that up front. But let's throw it over to Rudd Duck here. I'm sure he's got a question for you.
I got a question, Colt. On a scale from 1 to 10,
oh gosh,
1 being you have to wear an adult diaper and sleep under a gravity blanket because your bowels are, you know, releasing involuntarily, and 10 being you have to revert to a infant state mentally and have your mom take care of you again. How scared are you of the Lions this week?
Man, I'm shaking in my boots as we speak right now. You know, I don't know. The Lions, they're a tricky team. Like people in the media like to discount the Lions, but you know, they have explosive firepower, especially with Matt Stafford. Anytime Matt Stafford plays, he could beat any team in the NFL. They should have beat the Chiefs last year.
Only and they had that spy. But we can
talk about damn right.
Yes.
But so what's the number?
I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go right in the middle. 5.
Ooh, that's pretty intense. Pretty intense fear.
All right.
So what's a five on the Rudd Dog scale then?
Indefinable fear. I don't
know. All both. Right. And since UJ isn't here, Colton, we need to ask you, do you know the Colts fight song?
Oh, yeah.
I do not. You know, I've been looking for one, and I can't find one. And I'm actually really disappointed because when you guys see the lines, I'm just like, I need to have a Colts song, and I don't.
It probably involves the words horse's ass in there somewhere.
How can you even be a fan of a team that doesn't have a fight song?
Like, yeah, what the hell?
I know. I'm a fraud.
Yeah, that's.
Wow, you have really failed the listeners and your own fandom yourself.
We're all now dumber having listened to you.
We're all Colts fans are let down.
I am a disappointment.
That's so sad.
I got a more legit question. What do you think about the Colts offense versus the Lions defense this week?
Colts offense versus Lions defense. Well, I think a big key where I would love to see the Colts do is get back to the ground game because I feel like we are known as a running team. I want to see Jonathan Taylor get to 100 yards on the ground and then have Nyheim Hines in the backfield just for, you know, shotgun for check down plays because I feel like he's a really good asset there. And also another running back that we had that never gets talked about is Jordan Wilkins. He'll get like 20, 30 yards a game, but he's a very good downhill runner. I actually am a big fan of Jordan Wilkins. So, but I know I also want to see, I want to see T.Y. Hilton go vertical on these Lions.
Don't you want to see him catch a ball first?
Well, yeah.
Isn't he leading the league in drops this year?
Baby steps, I guess. I want to see the Colts get more vertical. Like they're just, they're not as getting as much vertical as I would like to see them get. Like T.Y. should be a deep threat and he has not been a threat to anyone this year.
Do you think Philip Rivers can actually threaten the deep part of the field at this point?
I mean, he made some big throws against in Cincinnati. Our practice squad wide receiver assigned to the team, Marcus Johnson, had over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah,
I think he had two catches over 30 or 40 yards. So Philip still has the arm to throw downfield, but we haven't seen him much, which frustrates me.
So. Yeah, that running thing you mentioned, Colton, that's interesting because we got two of the top backs out of college this year going to be playing in this game, Swift and Jonathan Taylor. Oh, yeah. So see who wins that battle.
That's a very good matchup because finally the Lions are using Swift. Like, he is a very good running back, and like they're finally putting him to use. So I really need to see these Colts shut down Swift. So he can't play good this week.
All right. So before we wrap up the segment here, Colton, we need to ask you before you leave, what is your prediction for this Sunday?
Prediction. So I know I'm going to get the boos, but I'm going to go 21-17 Colts.
Oh. You chose.
Come on.
Matt Prater misses a field goal and Matthew Stafford throws a late.
Oh, you had to throw the interception in there?
Man.
What a dagger.
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
I didn't know I apologize, listeners. I know we're bringing delusional fans in here, so I apologize.
He probably thinks Andrew Luck's coming
back.
But
it happened from time to time. Yeah, right.
One can hope.
All right. So I think that's going to wrap up our segment. Colton, thank you for being a willing participant.
Thanks, Colton.
And I think you're going to barely walk out of here with your life. But thank you for entering the Lion's Den. And,
yes, thank you.
Good luck to the rest of your games after this week.
We'll see you Sunday.
Cold 45.
All right. So that was Colt, who entered the Lion's Den. We appreciate him coming on, but yeah, we also apologize, listeners.
He ate a few many paint chips as a kid, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy, but he's a little delusional.
Yeah. nevertheless, we thank him for coming on, and he barely walked out with his life, but nonetheless, he survived. But that's going to lead us now to our last segment of the episode, and that is predictions. So the Lions hosting the Indianapolis Colts at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central. The Lions are actually underdogs in this game. 3-point underdogs. The over-under is 50 points. So the Lions, home underdogs. You got to love it, Detroit Lions fans.
That under.
Jump on it. Jump on it now. it worked last week.
You take that under all day on this matchup.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
what's
under,
the over?
Under. Over
what's
under.
The over under?
Over under is 50.
I'm taking the under on this
50.
So I'm going to throw it over to Rudd Dog, though, to give our his prediction. And I believe he has UJ's as well, right?
Yes, I have UJ's prediction. I'll start with that. UJ predicts that Hawk will score two touchdowns. Swift will also run one in. And then two turnovers, one a fumble and one an interception, which will lead to a Detroit Lions victory of 24-13. So,
All right. 24-13, a stout defensive effort.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Thank you, UJ. Now, Rudd Dog.
All right. All right. So, yeah, you know, this is an interesting matchup. I like the way these challenges have been kind of progressing for the Lions. They haven't really faced a complete team since the bye week, and this is a, you know, big defensive team we're facing this week. I think this is going to be a great challenge for Bevel and Stafford and the whole offense, but I think they're going to overcome it. I think they're going to put up some points. I'm predicting that Stafford's going to throw for three touchdowns, one to Swift, one to Hockenson, and one to Galladay. I think Okuda's going to add his second career interception this week, and I think Aquara is going to continue his hot streak and get a sack and a half against Philip Rivers. This will lead us to a victory of 31-14, Detroit Lions.
Wow. Okay. Right. That's a much more subtle prediction than your normal one. So are you okay? Are you drinking enough Kool-Aid over there?
Hold on a second. Did I say 31? I meant 51. They're going to get the over by themselves.
There it is. All right, let's shoot it over to Connor there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a close game. I think the Lions still have things they're trying to figure out, and they'll continue to figure those things out this week, but I'm feeling good about the offense. I think Stafford's going to have three touchdown passes, one to Hawk, one to Galladay, one to Marvin Jones, spreading the wealth, spreading the love. I think Trey Flowers is going to be a menace there on the D. I think Swift's going to get 60 or 70 yards on the ground. I'm going to go 24-21 Lions with a crucial Okuda pick at the end to seal the victory.
Okuda.
Yeah, that's a tight
one. Wow. Okuda Matata.
All right. Another Lions win prediction. Gotta love it. All right, Bob.
All right. Yeah, like I was saying, I think we got to get that running game going, and I think we will this week. I think Stafford is – well, he's been on a roll the last couple of games. I don't know. Connor put a thing out, like, the last couple of weeks. He's been the highest-rated quarterback. I don't know what metric that was, but I think they're going to keep going here, and I like another 300-yard passing game for Stafford.
Yeah.
100 yards on the ground for our rookie running back, Swift. And 100 yards receiving for Galladay. So I like the Lions. They're going to expose this Colts defense, which has been very stout. And they're going to win 35-20.
Ooh. All right.
You got
I like it a lot. Yes, he does. So, yes,
yeah,
he does.
The over. Take the over. Bet your college fund on it.
I don't know.
All right, so that leaves me. So I'm going to go 27-20 Lions here. It's going to be a little defensive battle for sure. I definitely think Philip Rivers is going to throw an interception in this game. I don't know who's going to get it. Who am I going to lean towards here? I'll go Daron Harmon. I think he gets another pick in this game. It's perfect for Philip Rivers to float one over the middle. That's what he likes to do. So I definitely like that. And on offense, Stafford's going to throw for 250. I think the Lions' run game gets going here for sure. Switch is going to get 90 yards, about 92, 93 yards. I'll go 93 yards rushing. But this Colts defense has been okay the last two games, giving up 27 against the Bengals and 32 against the Browns. So they're definitely trending in the wrong direction. They did have that bye week to try to fix things maybe, but I like the way it's trending. But it's going to be a close game. The Lions need to turn around here at home, but 27-20. So that's what I got. So I got the under, but take that Lions money line while they're underdogs.
All right.
Yep. So yet again, we all predict a Lions victory.
What?
All right. Yeah. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Our listeners never saw it coming. Never saw it coming. All right. But that's, I think, going to wrap it up. We want to thank everybody for listening. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Thank you to our producer, Kid J, for getting these podcasts up twice a week.
Jay.
Really appreciate that. And please subscribe and leave a review on Apple. We'd really appreciate that. But that's it. So get ready for Sunday. But last but not least, as always, go!
Go! Lions!
Woo!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame.